may know. It's called Volkswagen Beetles. You know Volkswagen Beetles, very small car like a cockroach. And a lot of famous movie use that kind of model, okay? For my time, not your time, okay? One day he tried to sweep on the car, but nothing happened. So he called his friend Paul and asked for help. And his friend arrived, and then he tried to turn on the key, and kick, 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 nothing happened. So he quickly tried to get to the battery. You know, for that kind of car, the battery is in the front or the back. Do you know that? At the back, yeah. You are old enough like me. So he opened, tried to get to the battery. He found out, oh, you see, that is the problem. You know what's the problem? He tell the other person that because, you know, there's a cable collecting the engine and the starter, and there's something there. It's all corrupted, you know, corroded. If it's something corroded, the corrosion will block the content between these parts, the starter and the engine. So if there's something blocking it, you cannot start the engine. So what can we do? He said, very easy, don't worry. He went back to his car, get a can of Coca-Cola, and pour a little bit on top of the cable and the corrosion, and then it disappeared. Okay, then he tell the person, you can try again, start sweep on the engine. Perfectly, the car can start. You say, magic, next time when you have a problem, what can you do? If you don't have a Coke, then you call AAA. In fact, I think prayer life is like that. You know, we try to turn on the engine and connect to God. But it seems that God does not answer our prayer. Why? Because there's something blocking us from God. We cannot connect to God. So today I want to share with you the theme of avoiding prayer killer. The best way to keep away from this corrosion that hidden your prayer life is to avoid it, isn't it? So you need to know what kind of things we need to avoid. Have you tried to pray and there's no answer? Have you encountered this kind of situation? Or even you don't pray at all, then there's no answer. Then I don't need to teach you. But when you pray and there's no answer, there must be some reason. And I found out from the Bible, there are 9 common prayer killers. And the first one, are you ready? It's very common. Unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. There's a story about 4 preachers' confession. Okay. And these 4 preachers, pastor, we call pastor maybe today, met for a friendly gathering. And during the gathering, one preacher suggests, oh, you know, we so often listen to other brothers and sisters' secrets, and they confess their sins and whatever to us. How about tonight and today we try this and confess to one another? Confession should be good for our soul. Let's do it. We are good friends. We are so close. There should be no secrets, isn't it? So they start the confession. The first one said to the other, he had a problem with losing his temper on occasion. Okay? And the second one shared, confessed to liking to smoke cigars. Okay? Pastors like to smoke cigars. No, don't tell other people. The third one, he confessed to liking playing golf so much that he would fade being sick so he could, you know, avoid to work on the weekends and go to golf course. Okay, that's a pastor. And then come to the fourth one. he would not confess. And then the other thief tried to press him. Finally, he says something like that. My confession is, it's gossiping that I can hardly wait to get out of here. So everyone has a secret, and if you don't confess, and like we don't confess our sin, and what will happen? In the Bible, it reminds us, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord will not have listened. That's why, if there's something blocking our relation with God that is sin, then your prayer cannot be answered. So unconfessed sin is, I think, is more commonly prayer killer. Everyone may encounter that. But the best way is when you are aware there's a sin, what should you do? You should go to the Lord and ask him for his forgiveness. And that is what God promised us in Jeremiah chapter 31 and 30, verse 44. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember what? Their sins. Is it great? When you confess your sin, God will give you a new start. No matter what happened in the past, God will forget it and forgive you. So if you still feel there's something blocking the prayer, and someone seems to accuse you, oh, because of your sin, God will not listen to you. If you have made the confession, you need to believe these Bible words. What is the promise? When you confess, God will not remember and forgive your sin and bear your sin. So if there's a voice like that is still accusing you, it's not from God. It's from where? Satan. Okay? So don't believe. So we need to learn one more Bible verse. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. You need to memorize it. Maybe read together. But we confess our sins to him. He is faithful and just, and to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. That's a promise. When you have a sin, I encourage you to go to the Lord and confess so that God will listen to you again. That is the number one prayer killer. What is it? Unconfessed sin. And the second one is lack of faith. I think lack of faith is very common as well. Without faith, prayer has low power. If you turn your Bible to Mark chapter 6, from verse 1 to verse 6, it describes the situation of Jesus. Even Jesus was powerless to perform any miracles in Nazareth because of the people what? Did not have faith. God cannot do anything when you do not have faith. So that is what we read earlier in James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. What's the condition? Must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The word double-minded in Greek means wavering, uncertain, doubting, or divided in interest. So that is the condition where a person is emotional divided, almost as if he has two souls. That condition makes a person unstable and incapable of hearing from God or receiving his gift. So faith is an issue of trust. Jesus said something in Matthew chapter 21, 22. If you believe, what will the result you will receive, isn't it? If you believe, what you will receive, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. That is very important. So if you don't have faith, what will happen? Your prayer will be listened a lot. No. So there's two already. The first one, tell me, unconfessed sin. The second one, lack of faith. The third one, disobedience. If we are to grow in our relationship with God and become strong people of prayer, we must learn to obey. You need to obey what God tells us to do and hate what God don't want us to do. Keeping us free from sin is not enough. Even if you have faith, it's not enough. We still need to this kind of obedience in action. That is what James reminds us in chapter 2, verse 14. What is good is it, my brother? It's if a man claims to have faith but have no deeds, no action, can such faith save him? No. So if we believe, we need to have action. We need to obey God to follow whatever God needs us to do. There's a preacher, his name is called Norman Vincent, and he told a story, you know, about his boyhood, and that gave us some insight about the way of obedience, disobedience, how disobedience hinders our prayer. So as a boy, he once got a big cigar as a boy, okay? So he had into the very little street, no one can see, and try to smoke, okay? And then he tastes one smoke. Wow, so strong. It's not good at all, but he feels great because he feels he's a grown-up person, okay? And then he starts walking back to the main street, holding the cigar. And at that moment, he sees a man coming towards him. And when he walked towards that man, he found out who is it? His father. So he tried to hide the cigar, but it's kind of, you know, don't know how to hide it. He put it at the back, okay. And then he tried to talk to the father. Hey, father, how are you? Why you come here? And then he tried to distract the father and try to, you know, switch the the conversation to other theme. Oh, he looked at the billboard. There's a circus that is coming to the town. He said, he told the father, oh, okay, dear father, can I go to the circus when they come to the town? And the father answered, okay, next time, don't make your petition when you're hiding something at your back. That's the same, I think. When we try to hide something from a back and make our prayer to God, God do not like that. So we need to understand if God wants us to do something, don't disobey. Will distract the prayer. So we have three things. First is unconfessed sin. The second one is lack of faith. The third one is disobedience. And the fourth one is very common as well, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Do you remember how Peter asked Jesus about forgiveness? There's a Bible passage in Matthew chapter 18, 21. Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brothers when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Is the answer great? In the Hebrew traditional, The law requires a person to forgive a person how many times? Do you know that? 3 times. So when Peter said up to 7 times, I think Peter already think he's so forgiving, merciful to other person. But when he listened to the answer, Jesus said, not 7 times, but how many times? 77 times. Jesus was trying to teach Peter that forgiveness is not a matter of mathematics, nor is it a choice of words. Indeed, it is the attitude of our heart, and it is the Holy Spirit who empowers us to forgive. Why is forgiveness is so important? The answer, in fact, is recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 to 15. Jesus said, "For if you forgive men when you sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins." So that's very important message from our Lord, that forgiveness and being forgiven are inseparable twins. They go together. If you want Jesus to forgive you, you need to forgive other brothers and sisters. If you refuse to forgive other people, God also refuses to forgive you. And that creates a blockage between you and God. And that also creates inside your heart a kind of bitterness. So when you pray, think about that when you pray. Do you think a person can end the prayer with bitterness and come out with blessings? I don't think so. So forgiveness allows your heart to be made right again with God so that God can listen to you. It's very important. So we really trust prayer is something you want to exercise in your life. That is the most valuable thing for a Christian. You can pray anytime. You need to have a forgiven heart to other people. So think about today. Is any person in your heart that you don't want to forgive them? If that is the case, what should you do? Forgive them. Because that can help you. That can help to rebuild your relationship with God. So there's 4 things already. First is unconfessed sin. Second is lack of faith. Third one is disobedience. And fourth one is unforgiveness. And the fifth one is wrong motives. God makes no mistake about our motives. When they are not right, our prayers have no power. That's what James said in chapter 4, verse 3. When you ask, you do not receive because what? You ask with what? Wrong motives. So, what's wrong motive? What's wrong motives? Everyone can answer. When we pray and ask God, maybe our pride, possessions, self-satisfactions, and so on, will God listen to us? Definitely not. That's wrong motives. There may be other things. So, on the other hand, John reminds us in chapter 5, verse 14, he said, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to what? His will. The result is he hears us. So we need to ask according to his will, then he will listen to your prayer. So if you think your prayer has been very long, that may be the reason you ask for something that not according to his will, with wrong motives. So how about prayer? Killer number 6. That's very common as well. Idols in our lives. When we talk about idols, I think many people think about the statues, the image, okay, and the, like the Buddhist or Indian or wherever. But idol can be more than that. Idol can be what? Can be in many forms. Can be money, can be your study, can be your career, can be your children, can be pleasure. You want to have more fun, can be anything. So again, it is an issue of the heart, again. It's a heart problem. So Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 3, remind us, son of man, this man have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all? So he put something, put an idol. The idol in your heart will separate you. This is a stumbling block. Separate you from God. And even God said, should I listen to them? Even God does not want you to approach him because you have an idol in your heart. So my question to you today is, can you do a self-check right now? Do you have any idol in your heart? How do I know? If you prefer to watch TV more than go to the Sunday service, you have an idol. You prefer to sleep either 1 hour rather than come on time to the worship, you have an idol. Am I correct? That's very easy. You check yourself. Very simple thing. Do I put God first or put my self-interest first, my family first, my career first, my study first? That would be your idol. So we learned 6 things. Tell me, what's the 6 things? Prayer killer. First, unconfessing. Second, lack of faith. Third, disobedience. Fourth, unforgiveness. Fifth, wrong motive. 6, idols, you know. So up to now, do you need to remove some of the blocks? Or you need more to have a cell check? Let's finish the rest of 3. And the other one is not commonly mentioned, disregard for others. God loves everyone. So what we can see from Psalms, from heaven the Lord looked down and see all mankind. His will is expansive, is everyone, all mankind. So God's love is for everyone. And his desire for us is also we should love everyone near us, not only some of them or the one that you like. Scripture is full of verses supporting God's desire for unity among believers, between Christians, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, laymen and pastors, and so on. So the most Bible verse we quote, we can support this idea, is from John chapter 13:34. It's about new commandment. A new command I give you, what? Love one another as I have loved you. So you must, what? Love one another. And even when you turn to First Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it mentions something about encourage the husband and wife to be considerate to each other. If not, their prayer will be hindered. So that is the God's plan for us. We live to love. Don't disregard for other people. So one of the added benefit for of prayer is that it helped you when you love others and pray for them. It helped you to love other people, pray for them. Do you agree? When you pray for somebody, you're getting more love for them. There's a story about a person called Bill. Tell other people his experience about how he hates a pastor when he was a young Christian. So every Sunday morning after the service, his idea is want to roast the pastor for lunch. How bad it is, roast it for lunch. He criticized his pastor pretty bad every Sunday. But as he grew in his prayer life, he started praying for this pastor. His heart melted from criticism into a spirit of compassion. He started loving the pastor. And that person finally started a prayer ministry in the church. And that is very effective ministry in the church. So that's great. If you hate someone, you cannot forgive them, what should you do? Pray for them every day until you love him, love her. If he is your wife or husband, what should you do? Pray for them first. If you're a classmate or your co-worker in this organization or the workplace, what should you do? Pray for them. That is the secret of how God can help us. Okay, number 7, disregard for others. Number 8, disregard for God's sovereignty. I believe very strongly in the sovereignty of God. I think that is one of the things that have helped me remain positive during difficult time, because I believe God in control of everything. And I should submit to his plan. And Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 reminds us, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. So that is God's plan for us. God has a plan even before we were born. So when Jesus told the disciples how to pray, the first thing he did was teach them, you know what, to honor God. That's what he taught the disciples. In Matthew chapter 6, 9 to 10, all of us are very famous. I believe you know this Bible verse very well. Let me read it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when you pray, this is the Jesus prayer and teach us how to pray. That's the first thing we need to learn. We pray for the kingdom come, kingdom prayer. That means we believe the Lord's God's sovereignty in everything. So we need to establish this kind of mentality when we pray. As a child, we need to pray to our Father that we submit to his authority. And if we don't, I don't think our prayer will be effective. So we need to submit to God's sovereignty. Another one, the last one, is very close to the previous two, unsurrendered will. Unsurrendered will. There's something that you just want to do according to your will. And there's a story. Once upon a time, a Scottish woman who earned a moderate way of living by peddling her merchandise along the roads of her country. You know, just like today, you drive your van or all over different cities and sell your merchandise, okay? Each day, she would travel about 5 miles, 2 miles, it doesn't matter. But when he came to an intersection, she would toss a stick into the air. And wherever the way the stick points the direction, he will follow that direction. Okay, it's fun, huh? You can do that next time you don't know how to go, which way you go. Okay. And one time, she did this again, but this is differently, did it differently. He tossed the stick into the air once, twice, three times. And a gentleman observed that and asked the lady, why you fold the stick like that? Then that lady answered, I'm letting God show me which way I should go by using this kind of stick. Okay, then why do you fold it three times? Oh, because the first two times, God is pointing the wrong direction. Is it something we also practice? We pray, but it's not according to my will. Then no, I pray again. God, tell me, open the Bible, try to find a Bible verse, okay, to support my prayer. Oh, not this one. No, God. No, not this one. Oh, God. Oh, that's right. That's the Bible said. Especially when you're dating someone, you like him or her so much, and God may tell you no, but you don't believe. Then you say, God, that's not your will. We are human beings, isn't it? We are so filled with our passion, and we are being, you know, we need to learn how to submit to God. The ultimate purpose of prayer is not to get what we want, but to learn to want and what God wants to give us. And we need to submit, surrender everything to God. A person who wills is surrendered to God has a good relationship with him, similar to something, to the one described in the parable of the vine and the branches. And the Bible verse reminds us, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. That is the very close relationship. You follow God, you remain in God, surrender everything to God, and God will listen to your prayer. Is it great? So, let's conclude. Today we have 9 prayer killers. Don't look at the screen. Can you recite it? The first one? Unconfessing. Second one? Lack of faith. Third one? Very good. Disobedience. Fourth? Unforgiveness. Very good. Hey, don't look at your paper. Anything. Look at me. Okay. Fifth? Yes. One motive. Six? Yes. Idols in our life. 7, disregard for others. 8, disregard for God's sovereignty. And the last one, unsurrounded will. So dear brothers and sisters, can you do a self-check now? Ask yourself, do it any blockage because this 9 thing for your prayer? Anything. Or all of them. It doesn't matter. God has a promise. We need to confess and tell God that I want to have a new start. I want to do it again. And I want to have a new relationship with you. I want to have an effective prayer life. Peter reminds us, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And that we need to remember. We try our best to be a righteous man, a righteous woman. And get rid of the prayer killers and blocking our relationship with God. And that God will listen to a prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for reminding us that prayer killers can hinder our prayer life. Oh Lord, please reveal to us what we need to confess to you so that we can remove all the prayer killers in our life. And encourage us to start a new prayer life every day that we will ask according to your will and you will give it to us. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.